In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. One of the great joys about studying at the North American College in Rome was being able to experience the culture of Italy. And I always say with a smile on my face and a twinkle in my eye is that Italy is a second world country. It's not a first world country. It's not a third world country. It's a second world country. Here's an example. One of the great things about Italy was learning about public transportation. And occasionally we would take the buses in Italy. And there was a bus, number 870, that takes us from the Piazza del Rovere up the Via del Gianicolo, up to the Janiculum Hill where the North American College was. And the North American College overlooks another famous hill called the Vatican Hill. So bus 870 would take us up the hill to the North American College, up the Janiculum Hill. And for the most part, bus number 870 was totally unreliable. this is why I say it's a second world country. You know, I begin Mass as I began Mass tonight, as I always do, precisely to the second. I am 100% German, so I have an atomic clock in the sacristy, and when the second hand hits 7 o'clock, boom, the server rings the bell. I mean, it's that German precise. That's how the buses run in Germany, and I kid you not. But they do not run that way in Italy. So we would be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the bus 870 to take us up the Janiculum Hill. 98.7% of the time I walked up the hill, which is why I tell you that once upon a time I was young and indeed skinny, because I walked up that hill at least twice a day. And the problem with the buses is that, you know, sometimes the driver might not feel like taking you up the hill that day. It's just all based on what he feels like, right? He may be off having coffee, right? And when he gets around to it, he'll get on the bus and take you up the Janiculum Hill. Or they may be on strike, and they'll only be on strike for a short period of time, like for a day, just to make your life convenient. And yet the bus is still sitting there, and you think that perhaps it's going to come sometime to take you up the Via del Janiculo Hill. We would just sometimes wait, have a coffee, have a cappuccino, have a cafe, have a cornetto, something fun to eat as we were praying and hoping that eventually this bus would take us up the Janiculum Hill. Now, this is very important to the story that I want to tell you today, because Deacon James Keating, who was the deacon who gave the retreat to the deacons of our diocese 2 weeks ago, he said that in our modern culture, we think that purgatory is like waiting for the 870 bus. Isn't that funny? I just love that image. And so he gave a whole retreat conference on this. He said that we think that purgatory is like waiting for the 870 bus to take you up the hill to heaven. And that, you know, it's going to be really annoying, and you're going to have to wait a long time for this bus to get you up the hill, and they may be on strike, and you may have to wait several days or several years. But eventually, I guarantee you, eventually, the bus driver will take that bus up the hill to the Janiculum. And Deacon James Keating told the deacons, he said, this is not what purgatory is like. He says, this is not what purgatory is like. We kind of get a false impression. Remember last year on All Souls Day, we talked about purgatory, and I told you good news. I told you that everyone in purgatory goes to heaven. That's true. Absolutely the truth. Every single soul in purgatory goes to heaven, 100% guaranteed. Every soul goes to heaven. I also told you the good news that the devil can't tempt you anymore. He can't tempt you one more time out of purgatory into hell. He can't do that. He has lost you forever. you are going to heaven. All of that's true. But I think we get the false impression that we're just sitting around waiting for a bus to take us to heaven. And it's just kind of annoying, but that's all that it is. That we're just sitting around drinking a cappuccino, playing cards, waiting for someday Michael the Archangel to get in the bus and take us to heaven. But this is false. So I'm here to remind you that purgatory is painful. Why is it painful? It's painful to allow God to purify us from all venial sins. In purgatory, we are purified from all venial sins. That's a difficult process. It's also difficult to allow God to uproot our attachments to sin. That's a difficult, painful process. It's a lot more annoying than waiting for the bus 870 to take you up the hill. The Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church talk about purgatory as a purifying fire. So for your homework, go back and take a look at Catechism number 1031. And in it they quote Pope St. Gregory the Great, who died in 604. And Pope St. Gregory the Great says, "For certain lesser faults, we must believe that before the final judgment, there is a purifying fire." There is a purifying fire. Let's take a look at what the saints of the church tell us. My patron, the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas, says the fire of purgatory is equal in intensity to the fire of hell. The fire of purgatory is equal to the fire of hell. Oh my goodness, well, what's the difference? Well, hell's not going to end. But purgatory is. But that's a sobering thought. What does the Doctor of Grace say? That's St. Augustine. The Doctor of Grace says that though this fire is destined to cleanse and purify the soul, still it is more acute than anything we could possibly endure on earth. More acute, more painful. You know, acute pain, if you're a doctor, healthcare professional, nurse, it's more acute than any pain we could undergo on earth. What does St. Cyril of Alexandria say? It would be preferable to suffer all the possible torments of earth until judgment day than to pass one day in purgatory. Another. Wow. This is serious. Purgatory is not just kind of a holding pattern waiting for bus 870 to take you up the hill. We talked yesterday about wanting to become a saint, desiring to become a saint, not just being content with being a C student in the spiritual life, right? Not content with just being average, not content with just being a good person, but not being holy. Not just uprooting mortal sins, but being uprooting venial sins too, right? If we don't strive for sanctity in this life, then we're going to be made holy in the purifying fires of purgatory in the next. So today, the other shoe drops from yesterday's homily, right? If we're just content to be a C student in the spiritual life, then the Lord will complete his work by making us holy in purgatory. And it's going to be very difficult, very painful. Purgatory is not waiting for a bus to take us to heaven. And so I would encourage you to adopt the motto for your screensavers, which is the same motto as the Air Force. Aim high. Aim high. My friend St. Teresa of Avila would say, wouldn't it be glorious if we could leap over purgatory and go right to heaven? That's only for the person that desires holiness now in this life. So we aim high. And as we're trying to aim high for sanctity today on All Souls Day, in a great act of charity that I'll talk more about with our grade school students tomorrow, we can be of great help to our friends, our relatives, our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our brothers and sisters. We can be of great help to them so they can have a shorter time in purgatory, so they get to enjoy heaven faster. What can we do? Well, the number one thing that I can do is I can offer three masses today for All Souls Day. You know, I can't tell you the grief in my heart. I sound like St. Paul now in the reading from Romans a couple of days ago, right? I am just grieved in my heart to hear that many of my brother priests offered not a single mass today because it's Monday. My insides are just crying. Or they just offered one mass. My spiritual director says, why would you not offer three masses? Who else can do that? Only you can do that, Father. That's what you are called to do. Nothing else is important today, he would tell me, except for you to offer three masses today. That's it. That's all you have to do. And so that's what I do. For 18 years on All Souls Day, I always offer three masses on All Souls Day. I'm just an empty instrument. But that's what I can do for the souls of the faithful departed. The mass is the greatest prayer we can offer for the souls of the faithful departed. So I'm always inspired at our parishes here is that there's so many mass intentions. So many mass intentions. So thank you very much for that. Keep that up. I'm nervous about what will happen in another 50 years. I really don't know if the next generation will remember to offer Mass. Will anyone remember to offer Mass for me 50 years after I've died? We can offer Masses for our friends and relatives. What else can we do? I met a man yesterday who said that he is going to go to Holy Communion every single day this week and visit a cemetery to gain a plenary indulgence for the souls of the faithful departed. And I was like, you're going to go every day to the cemetery this week? And he was like, well, of course I'm going to go every day to the cemetery this week. And I'm saying to myself, I'm a pagan. I thought, well, I'd go once, you know, this week. It's going to be a nice day tomorrow. It's going to be 70 degrees. I'll probably go tomorrow and call it good. What a pagan. You can go every single day this week, receive Holy Communion, pray for the Holy Father's intentions, be in the state of grace, and offer a prayer for the holy souls in purgatory and gain them a plenary indulgence. It's not complicated. I know in RCIA, there's a beautiful woman in RCIA who always, when I ask for intercession, she always prays for the holy souls in purgatory. And sometimes people go, and they kind of snicker, as if that was something old-fashioned. And I just smile and I say, oh, this holy woman, she's building up some really good friendships with those holy souls in purgatory. She's becoming really good friends with them, and I can guarantee you that someday they will be in heaven, and someday they'll be praying for her. What a gift. Are you familiar with the St. Gertrude prayer? You remember St. Gertrude, that wonderful Benedictine nun, died in 1334. Her feast day is this month. It's the 16th day of November. St. Gertrude the Great, the only woman that I know that is called great in the saints of the church. Gertrude the Great, her feast day, November 16th. She had mystical visions of the Lord. And our Lord told St. Gertrude the Great that the following prayer would release 1,000 souls from purgatory each time it was said. It goes like this. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, for those in my own home and within my family. Amen. And 1,000 souls were just released from purgatory. I have this holy card in my breviary. Do you have it in your breviary? Missals? Bibles? What a beautiful prayer. The simplest prayer of all, you probably already know. There's a partial indulgence, not a plenary indulgence. There's a partial indulgence every time you say today's entrance antiphon, which is the same entrance antiphon for all three Masses and for the daily Mass for the dead that we'll be doing this week. You know it well. Requiem aeternam, dona eis Domine, et lux perpetua lucia Deis, requiescant in pace. Amen. That's a partial indulgence that can be gained for the holy souls in purgatory. What a great gift we can give them today. Let's conclude with that prayer. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.